All right. We're going to get some gambling on today, some fantasy on today, and some stuff. Let's just do it. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776. Is your number. You can also hit us up on Facebook. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Thursday, weekend's almost here, but boy, that weather sucks outside.
Not a beautiful day.
No, and
not a beautiful
and
one.
So, of course, people don't know how to drive. So be careful out there if you're driving home and listening.
I'm just hoping it's better tomorrow.
Yeah?
Because we're on the road tomorrow.
We're on the road to nowhere.
No, we're on the road to Beaumont.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
But what if it's rainy and cold and crappy tomorrow?
Then that would suck driving to Beaumont.
Well, not just driving there, but doing the show would suck.
Yeah.
Because we do the show outside.
And I think this is the last one we're doing.
And who wants to hang out and watch us do a show when it's cold and rainy and crappy?
Well, I don't know what the weather's supposed to be, but I saw that somebody on Twitter mentioned the possibility of snow.
In Beaumont?
No, not in Beaumont, here.
Oh.
Probably up in your neck of the woods.
No, I think it'll snow like way up in the atmosphere, but
it'll never make it here.
Yeah.
Low of 36 today, according to the website here, which is supposedly at about 4 a.m. It's going to get down to 36. That's too damn cold. I don't live here for that.
No.
If I wanted that, I would live in Canada. But what else is happening?
Sports. A lot of, I don't know. I guess maybe no more than normal sports. But I was doing my prep. I was like, man, I'm reading a lot about sports and not a lot about stuff. So I hope you went stuff heavy.
I've got more sports than stuff probably today. But I mean, I've got some stuff.
Okay.
I don't have great stuff. It's good stuff that maybe we can turn into great stuff.
Okay. Well, we'll do our best.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of on us. Yeah. The material's there. It's what do we do with it?
Yeah.
But so what sports caught your eye first off?
Well, I start looking early at mock drafts and start thinking about early, like, who's going to be the guys who are going to be the guys that – most of the quarterbacks, who's going to, you know, be going where, and comparing those guys, namely the top three or four guys, and I say four now because I feel like Baker Mayfield's worked his way into the conversation of probably being a first-round pick, although that may be something we can talk to Lance about next week.
Yeah, I think I think he hadn't gotten around to – he said he was looking at him differently now, like I think a lot of scouts are.
Yeah.
So
I think that with Baker Mayfield, you've got a – he's – obviously a high-risk guy, but top end, maybe he's like Russell Wilson.
He's a lot more mobile than people realize.
Bottom end, maybe he's like John Football.
That's a pretty low bottom.
I mean, it's a pretty high top too, right? I mean, high ceiling. Like, so, and obviously that's a massive in-between. He could be either of those things. I have a hard time, honestly, thinking that Baker Mayfield will be an average quarterback. You know what I mean? I think he's either going to be really good or he's going to be a total bust.
So he's not going to be Andy Dalton is what you're saying.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I kind of think that Kyle Allen is going to be Andy Dalton. I think he's bigger and he's more mobile, but I think like what he's going to end up being as far as how good he is sort of Andy Dalton-ish.
Who?
Kyle Allen.
Oh, he's not going to be an NFL quarterback.
All right. Well, and then the top two guys.
I mean, he was third. He wanted.
I meant Josh Allen, not Kyle Allen.
I'm about to say, what the hell?
No, I'm not. That's not what I meant.
Kyle Allen. I'm like,
Dude, are you high? I am high. Not Kyle Allen. Josh Allen.
Okay.
And then mostly I spent a lot of time comparing the top two guys, the Darnold and Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. And, you know, from I haven't seen a lot of the film on them, like the film that Lance gets to see, which that may be my next project. But a lot of what I'm reading about these guys is Sam Darnold, most people think, has the best long-term upside. Josh Rosen is the one who's most ready to play tomorrow in the NFL, which makes sense. I mean, Sam Darnold could stay at USC. I mean, he's not really even in a spot where he's got to come out. And
it might do him good to get another year in.
Well, here's where I'm at. If I feel like I'm going to be chosen by the Browns, I'm going back to school for another year. I'm not saying that to be like funny. I'm dead serious, because who succeeds there? And I know if you're going to be great, you're going to be great anyway. You can't be scared of where you're going to go. That's fine. I'm just not trying to go into an abysmal situation. I'm trying to give myself the best advantage to start my career. And literally the worst place you can start your career as an NFL quarterback is Cleveland. So if I'm Sam Darnold, I'm going, all right, I think the Browns are going to take Rosen. Maybe I go in.
Yeah.
I take a little bit less guaranteed money if I'm like the number 3 or 4 pick.
He's probably going to be second. Somebody will trade up.
That's possible, because the 49ers are going to be looking to trade in. Or he gets picked by the Giants, gets to sit for a year behind Eli Manning, and then I feel like you're in a pretty good spot if that's the case. But if I feel like, oh, the Browns talking to my agent, they really like me. Not my agent.
You can't have an agent. That's part of the problem.
That's the downside. Or maybe if all the draft gurus seem to think that the Browns love me, I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna go back to USC one more year and let the Browns take their quarterback now, and then next year I'll come out in the safety of a draft where the Browns just took a quarterback. There's no way they're going to take a quarterback in the first round 2 years in a row. So
you never know with those guys.
I never know what they're going to do.
Because they could easily just start saying, all right, we passed on two really good quarterbacks. Now let's just draft everyone we can get, and one of them will work out.
Yeah.
Although they'll be doing it with a new GM.
That's true.
So I don't know who Rick Smith's going to deal with anymore. Now that Sashi's gone.
Yeah.
His buddy.
Yeah.
And apparently Hugh Jackson is going to be back next year. I don't know how much I believe that.
I don't either.
But it's they did say they're going to bring him back in 2018, so it looks like he won the power struggle.
Yeah.
Whatever power struggle was there. How do you have a power struggle when your team isn't any good?
I don't know.
I mean, what power is really there? I'm just curious.
You got me.
And Steve says it always seems to bite these guys who stay an extra year. He could Matt Barkley it. Matt Barkley, it definitely hurt him. It hurt Matt Leinart. It did not hurt Andrew Luck.
No.
When he stayed an extra year.
You know what? And it hurt Matt Leinart, but I mean, Matt Leinart, it turns out, wasn't as good as everyone thought he was in college. But Matt Leinart at least went to a decent situation and gave himself a fighting chance. Did he make as much guaranteed money? No, probably not. But Matt Leinart also, and I'm sure he wasn't thinking about this at the time, but he also is a good-looking dude, well-spoken. He's got a career after football. You know what I mean? Like, in football, but after football. You know, I think that, yeah, could he have made more money? Sure. But where would he have gone? What would his situation have been like? I don't know that it would have been any better for him.
Yeah, situation has as much to do with these guys succeeding as
absolutely
as talent. And I mean, obviously, a truly great player is going to be truly great wherever, but there's also a lot of guys that probably could have had successful careers if they'd wound up in better situations. And, you know, it's easy for a guy to lose confidence. It's easy for him to, especially when they have a lot of failures.
Yeah.
That can get to you. And I think David Carr is a good example of that. I'm not sure the guy couldn't have been a pretty good quarterback in a better situation than an expansion
exactly.
team with, and as bad as you think the offensive line is right now, what they were trotting out there when he was playing was just abysmal. And there was nobody that even belonged in the NFL on that offensive line for the most part. JF288 said, Lance said the other day, Baker throws a great deep ball. Average arm, not elite, but an NFL arm. Receivers never have to fight for the balls he throws.
His accuracy downfield is awesome.
Yeah.
But he's also 5'11". And that's
Do you think teams are getting less concerned about that? Because it does seem like you've got some guys now that are playing pretty well besides Drew Brees. You know, hell, Case Keenum's playing really well.
He's a little dude. And Russell Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, and if a guy can play, I think so much of it is it comes down to the decision-making when they throw balls so they don't get them batted back at them.
Here's the thing.
Tom Savage does.
You know what's great about those guys, all those guys you just mentioned? Not one of them was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
So, because I can tell you there's a lot of guys who were small who got picked later that didn't make it. So I'm not saying you can't make it at that size, but it's nice to not have a first-round pick thrown on it and have to take that big chance. And with Russell Wilson, they're like, oh, my God, this is found money. You know, Case Keenum is clearly found money for the Vikings right now. I mean, that's a guy who had been kicked around the league, basically he was a journeyman third-string quarterback, which is, I mean, that's pretty bad. And he's found a spot where he could succeed. And that the Vikings are like, wow, look what we found here. But they didn't have to invest a first-round draft pick in him. Nor, if they could go back now, do I think they would invest a first-round draft pick in him. So, and Drew Brees obviously was a second-rounder, but he ended up working out pretty quickly.
First pick of the second round, so that was one where he almost a first-rounder.
Right, but the reality is it's a risk, you know, to take someone who doesn't have the physical tools that you want. And that's typically what you're taking in the first round is upside. And when you talk about guys with upside, you want guys like Jadeveon Clowney, who, I mean, he's a physical freak. He checks every box. Like, so if Jadeveon Clowney ends up being a great player with his body, he's going to be just a monster. You know what I mean? Whereas there's other guys who, you know, they have to work harder to be really good. And those are the guys who I tend not to take in the first round. You know, you want guys that are sort of more, their top end is higher, you know? And I think Baker Mayfield, I don't know. I think it's the top end is high because, I mean, Russell Wilson could be that, but you also didn't have to pick Russell Wilson in the first.
Right.
I'm curious. I wonder if, and here's the other thing. The other guy who I didn't mention because I haven't really taken him seriously as a first rounder, but CBS and Walter Football, all these early mock drafts, have Lamar Jackson going high in the first round. I don't see it. It's not for me. He's not accurate. I don't like it.
That's my main issue with him is he's just not a very accurate passer. And, you know,
and you're not going to outrun everybody in the NFL. It doesn't work that way.
No, he's got some of the skills you want to see in the pocket, but the big problem is throwing the football. And I couldn't take him that high. I mean, I think as a project, if you could work with him. But it's not like his accuracy's improved.
Yeah, I'd like to see what Lance says about that guy. I want to know if he's got a first round grade on him, because the guys that I was talking about, and then Mason Rudolph, those guys all seem to be pretty consistently first round picks. Although Baker Mayfield, I've seen a couple in the second round.
Yeah,
so I'm curious what he thinks as far as where those guys will end up.
All right. Now, Lamont says he sees some Winston and Johnny immaturity in Mayfield.
Sure.
That's definitely there, for sure.
Yeah, but, I mean, Winston, because he's good enough, it's worth it. Now, you know, Johnny Football, because he wasn't good enough, it wasn't worth it.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
BetDSI is still offering that free $25 wager for registering using my promo code BLITZ25. If you haven't jumped on that offer now, there's only a limited time left with it. Do yourself a favor and jump on that now. BetDSI.com is simply a great sports book, rated A+ by the review sites. They have a reputation you can trust, lots of fun features, easy deposits and withdrawals, no hassles on getting your money. That's important, guys. Go to BetDSI.com right now and use my promo code BLITZ25 to get a $25 free wager just for registering. registering. Parlays, teasers, straight bets, futures. BetDSI.com offers lines on nearly every sporting event you would want to bet. And don't forget, you can bet while the action is live with in-game wagering. At home or on your mobile device, getting odds and placing bets is so simple and fun with BetDSI. Want to go beyond traditional sports? They've got an awesome online casino and racebook. How about politics or reality TV? BetDSI has those odds too. What are you waiting for, guys? If you're looking for a legit, secure, reputable online sportsbook, stop putting up with the hassles and the restrictions of other services. Switch to BetDSI now. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code BLITZ25, and get a free $25 wager on the house and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's BLITZ25 to get your free wager and start winning today.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Man, we were looking at this mock draft, and there's some bizarre ones here.
Yeah, and everybody's way, way different. Is Lance here, John?
I can go check.
Let's see if he's here. Maybe you can. I know we have like a scheduled thing with him, but I'd still be curious to talk to him about some of these guys.
It's when you got that kind of resource running around and you're on the subject.
Because I know he's watched way more film on these guys than I am. But really what it boils down to is which teams near the top are going to take a quarterback or are going to be in the market for a quarterback. And I think that you're probably talking about four, maybe five guys go in the first round. Cleveland definitely needs a quarterback. They've got two top 10 picks. It's almost a lock that they take one, right?
Yeah. They have to. They have to.
The Giants almost assuredly taking a quarterback, right?
Right.
The Broncos almost assuredly taking a quarterback.
Yeah, the mock draft I'm looking at has them taking a guard, but they'll take a quarterback if they have the fourth pick, which it looks like they might. They'll take a quarterback. There's no way they wouldn't, right?
Let's see. The Niners, no.
No. They feel like they got their guy.
Colts, no.
Nope.
Bears, no. Bucks, no. Cardinals? I don't know if it's necessarily their top priority. I mean, I think they could add offensive line and then play one more year of Carson Palmer and figure it out from there.
Yeah.
Jets? The Jets would have to be in the market, right?
Definitely.
So that's four.
Yeah, but I think if I'm the Cardinals and there's one there, I take him. I mean,
if there's a guy you're in love with, sure. Yeah. The Redskins. We have to assume they're going to lose Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, which should fill the void at one of these other teams we're talking about,
right? Miami, I'm sure, would love to find a quarterback. I mean, and Cincinnati, they could be in the market for one as well. There's a lot of teams who might need a quarterback, you know, and that's just the top half of the draft. Because I assure you, there's some teams, Buffalo, who has two first-round picks.
Could move up.
They could move up and take one. That wouldn't shock me at all. Jacksonville, I could see them looking to reach up and get one. Or even if they can get one of the guys late in that first round, like if they can get Baker Mayfield or something like that late, they'd be interested. So there's a lot of guys I could see. Oh, look at this guy. Look at that hat.
That's where Bruce Arians.
Sorry about that. I like how your shoes match your shirt. Look at you. You're a man of high fashion.
Yeah, you have to be when you have Raheel Ramzanali running around.
Your jeans are not tight enough, I'm afraid.
No, they need to be a little tighter.
You need some yoga pants from Lululemon. My God.
The way I know that is my wife. Like, I didn't know it until the Chicago Marathon. I'd heard the name, but I just posted something about my wife running the Chicago Marathon, and Lululemon showed up in my DMs, but not in a good way.
Oh.
They just said, hey, congrats, or good luck to your wife running. We'd love to send her something to wear for the – I'm like, okay. And they just sent a top and some pants or whatever. I'm like
– If Lululemon asked you to wear their clothes and be in a photo shoot.
Me personally?
You personally.
No, but I am well aware that Raheel is in the – God, I'm so glad you reminded me because now I got something for him tomorrow. The Today's Man or whatever it is, something like that. And he's holding his daughter just to try to, you know, butch up the picture.
Yeah, that's not for
me.
He's
holding his daughter like, look at me, I'm a man. And it's like, it's still Lululemon, bro.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
What's next? Raheel's going to pose for Victoria's Secret? I don't know. It's very strange. So we were talking and about the quarterbacks that are coming out this year.
Uh-huh.
And the name, when I was looking through some mock drafts, the name that surprised me, because mostly I had been looking at...
You're going to say Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. My favorite is Sam Darnold. I texted you the other day. You didn't text me back. But that's okay.
You texted me?
Yeah. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen. I think Baker Mayfield is probably working his way into the first round.
Uh-huh.
And Mason Rudolph. Those guys I could all see being taken in the first round.
I'd rather have Lamar Jackson than Mason Rudolph.
That's the guy who surprised me, because suddenly, not only am I seeing him in mock drafts, I'm seeing him like top five of mock drafts. And I feel like I've never seen that guy throw an accurate pass.
Nah, that's too high. That's too high. But I think they're going to be wild. I think they're going to be wildly different evaluations on him. And here's why. I think the Bill O'Brien factor has changed some things. What I mean by that is his ability and willingness to make some alterations to his passing game and his personnel groupings and how, you know, their formations and things. You know, I think what he did for Deshaun Watson was really important, because he didn't try to fit the square peg into the round hole. You know, it's not about how is this guy going to fit into. For years, all we talked about is, well, what's he going to do when he has to play under center? What's he going to have to, you know, do when he has to read an NFL, you know, read NFL defenses and play in an NFL passing attack and go through NFL progressions? And Bill O'Brien basically just did, you know, what the smart thing is. And he said, okay, well, let's make him comfortable. Let's just have him working out the gun and the pistol the whole time. And let's do some zone read stuff. Even if it's zone read looks, just to create some play action for him, to buy him some time with this terrible offensive line. And so he built an offense and a passing game that was suited to Deshaun Watson, and he got results out of it. And I think if I'm an NFL team and I'm looking at Lamar Jackson, okay, A, he can fling the deep ball. Like, he's right. Got a big arm, and he can throw it deep. His accuracy is very scattershot. I mean, very scattershot. Regular throws, he'll just airmail for no reason. So what you're going to do is you're going to say, what does he do well, and let's tailor our offense to what he does well. The problem is, one of the things he does really, really exceptionally well is he runs with the football. He runs like a running back, not a scrambling quarterback or a mobile quarterback. He runs like a running back. Like, he is crazy elusive and fast. And so if you're going to tailor an offense to that, I mean, are you really drafting putting a first-round pick on a guy that's going to 210 pounds and could
not
get beat
me.
Up? Nah, I wouldn't either. But it's not going to surprise me if he goes ahead of Mason Rudolph.
So that's the other guy that we were talking about, like the risk and reward of going with a first-round pick with Baker Mayfield. Because Baker Mayfield, everybody's like, well, now that we've seen Russell Wilson, we've seen Drew Brees, we've seen Case Keenum, you don't have to have this NFL size to be effective in the NFL.
Yeah, but you could run through a list of a bunch of guys who never made it.
Well, that's what I said. And I said the great thing about all three of those guys is there wasn't a first-round pick on any of those guys.
None of them.
So the you don't have that great
Drew
risk.
Drew was first pick of the second round, though.
Close. Yeah. But the difference between the last pick of the first round and the first pick of the second is big when it comes to investment.
Right.
So no one had to invest that first-round pick in these guys that – you know, sure, you've got some examples of guys who worked out, but there's a ton of guys who didn't. And really, we saw another guy who they did invest a first-round pick in, Johnny Football, who was a complete and utter failure. And I don't necessarily think his height was the number one reason why, but I'm sure you can add that to a bucket of reasons why Johnny didn't make it in the league.
Yeah, this is what I know about NFL evaluators. Baker's height is going to play into it. I don't care what anyone says. You can mention Russell Wilson all you want. Russell Wilson didn't go in the first, as you mentioned. You can mention all those guys, you know, didn't go in the first because they want you to look a certain way. And Deshaun Watson does look that way. You know, Lamar Jackson is taller than
Vince Young looked that way.
Vince was really tall. Deshaun had a good build, good, you know, he wasn't the biggest guy, but he had good size. Baker is going to be shorter, squattier. I've heard he's going to measure even shorter than some people think. So that's not going to necessarily help him. Then there's the argument about playing in the system and the scheme. Chase Goodbread over at NFL.com wrote a really good piece on on Baker where he looks at, you know, the Johnny Football effect and why that doesn't make sense. You know, why he had a scout say that doesn't make any sense to compare them. That's a lazy comparison. Then he took a look at what about character? You know, what about when he was arrested by the police? What about the crotch grab? What about the flag plant? What about this? What about that? And he goes through and breaks them all down with different personnel people, and it's really an interesting article. I don't know. I haven't officially written him up yet. I'm 100 in as of today, and out of 500, and I haven't. And I'm not really looking forward to it because I already know it's going to be really hard to. I'm not going to feel confident with whatever I put out there because he's so productive. And he makes so many winning plays, and that brashness, that arrogance is a good thing to me at the quarterback position. He's got great deep ball accuracy. He's got great touch. There's so many things I like about him, but I'm still not convinced that that he can just sit in a pocket and just go through his progressions and throw it. I really think he likes to break the pocket because, like a lot of smaller quarterbacks, Russell Wilson included in there, they feel more comfortable when they're outside of the pocket and they're in some space.
You think those are the two guys, the hardest guys to grade, Lamar and Baker?
I think Lamar's going to be really hard to grade. I don't think Lamar – well, Lamar's going to be hard to project. Baker Mayfield's going to be hard to grade and project. And then, you know, because you don't really see those guys. Like, there's not a lot of – I don't think Baker Mayfield is Drew Brees. I don't buy that at all. Drew is a much better pure arm guy. But who is he? Like, he's not Manziel, but is he Doug Flutie? That's not a bad comparison, I don't think. I've heard that one.
Well, geez, a first-round pick on Doug Flutie?
No.
No.
Is he Chase Daniel? Souped-up version of Chase Daniel when he came out of Missouri? And Chase was a good quarterback.
Not
People
bad.
Act like I'm crapping on him when I say that. Chase Daniel was a good quarterback. Yeah. Out of Missouri.
He's actually a solid backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, he is. But I think Baker's better than that.
You don't draft a backup in the first round.
No. I don't think it's crazy to say Baker goes in the second. I really don't.
Okay.
But I'm getting the point now.
You think that's value if he goes in the second?
Or
are you just looking at it as there's less risk?
No, I think I think there's less risk.
Yeah.
I think there's less risk. You know, no one ever mentions Colt McCoy with him. I think he's better than Colt McCoy. I think Colt went in the third.
Colt went in the third. Colt, I think
you were there, weren't you? During
I was,
Colt years?
And I think one of the biggest comps between those two guys is they're both extremely accurate passers. And when we're talking about guys like Lamar Jackson, who just overthrows guys randomly, yeah. Colt McCoy never did that. Baker Mayfield doesn't do it very often. And Baker Mayfield, not only like Colt McCoy was accurate a lot, 20 and in. Baker Mayfield's pretty accurate. Deep down the field.
Oh, no, he's very – he's over 50% deep down the field.
Yeah,
he's crazy accurate.
So,
but here's the thing. I could envision a scheme in multiple schemes. You say, yeah, I could see Baker playing in West Coast. Yeah, I could see Baker playing in some play action stuff where he takes shots down the field. I could see that. With Lamar Jackson, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure what is best for him. I can't just sit here and easily say, oh, yeah, he's a good fit in this kind of passing scheme. I don't know what that is with Lamar. I'm not really sure. With Baker – he'd be good in that. He'd be good. That's why I don't think there's a lot of bust in Baker Mayfield. It's just, what do you expect him to do? If you're expecting Drew Brees,
that's
not going to happen.
I don't know if Colt McCoy is really a bust. They took him in the third round. He's still a backup quarterback in the NFL today, 8 years later.
So third and fourth round quarterbacks get drafted to be backups.
Yeah, especially. That's what you are.
Yeah.
And remember, Colt McCoy, he didn't have ideal NFL size. He went 6'3", but he's probably 6'1". Mm-hmm. That's bigger than what Baker Mayfield's going to be. Mm-hmm. And, here's what my big question is. Of all these guys we've talked about, which guy will fit the best with the Browns? Because that's who's got the first pick. So,
see, I don't think Darnold's coming out.
Do you think if he did come out, he'd be the Browns' choice? Because I was talking about, if I were Sam Darnold and I thought the Browns really liked me, I would stay another year.
Yeah, he would be probably their choice. Yeah, because there's not a true knockdown number one player in this year's draft. It was clearly Myles Garrett last year. I think he's a special talent. You can't draft Josh Rosen because you've already got DeShone Kizer. And let me tell you something. The stories about Rosen and difficult to coach and some people question whether or not he loves football enough to stick around because he comes from an academic family and doesn't need the money and he's been you know, I said difficult to coach. There have been guys who wonder how he'll fit into NFL locker rooms. His teammates don't love him. All this stuff I've heard behind the scenes from people close to it. There's no way that you have Kizer on your roster and then you draft a guy like that with Rosen. So if it's not Darnold, here they are again. I mean, they could get screwed. The Cleveland Browns could say, well, Darnold's not coming out. We got to get a quarterback. Let's go Baker Mayfield. Or let's go Josh Rosen. Or let's go Josh Allen. Even worse, this guy throws it. This guy is like, what was that, Washington? The Washington quarterback? Jake Locker. This guy's like Jake Locker all over again. And so you got so you passed on Goff. You passed on Wentz. You passed on Deshaun Watson. You took Kizer, head case. And now you're going to – are you going to reach this year now that Sashi Brown's gone? Is the owner going to make them reach on a quarterback? Because, you know, the owner famously – told them to draft Johnny Manziel, which was, you know, a disaster. So the Browns, I don't know that I've ever seen an organization screwed up more consistently ever in sports history that I've been alive. Well, I don't know about you, Fred. Can you think of anyone? It used to be the Clippers. Yeah. No one touches the Browns. No one touches the Browns.
So if Sam Darnold doesn't, if Sam Darnold does come out, you're Cleveland, you take him number one.
Probably so.
If not, do you take the best available player number one and then see what quarterback's there for you at seven?
Yeah, you could do
there
that.
There are eight wherever the Texans
pick
lands.
You know what
you
could do that weird thing where you draft running back one and just go Saquon Barkley. He's the best player I've studied so far. I don't like drafting running backs first. And you could try to trade out and grab more picks again. I mean,
or what about drafting someone to replace Joe Thomas eventually who, you know.
There's not really that guy in this draft.
No.
There's not. No. There's not an easy left tackle that you point to and say this is the guy. I mean, you could go get Barkley and not try to get cute and say, okay, we got really good running back. We're good with this. You could go get Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame, who is a dominant dry-blocking guard. But are you really going to draft a guard with
number
the first
one
pick of the draft?
That'd be tough.
He better be an all-pro multiple years. So, I don't know, man. Every time I feel bad about the Texans, I think of the Browns, and I'm like, I'm all right.
It could
My
be worse.
My dad coached with them from 01 to 04. And this is when they still thought, hey, we're on the right track. We got Tim Couch, and we got, you know, we just drafted this Gerard Warren guy from Florida. We think he's going to be really good, and we got Courtney Brown. And, I mean,
none of them were good. Yeah.
All of them.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming in on a non-Monday.
Right, boys.
Appreciate
it,
man.
Around all day.
All right. That's Lance Erline. You can hear him in the mornings from 7 to 9 with John Granato. Oh, look, it's filth. Yeah, you don't need that, Lance.
And then for another 30 minutes with John and Raheel.
So there you go.
Until 9:30. And very happy to have him here. And, guys, I got to tell you, I've been sleeping really well lately. And it's all because of my mattress from Texan Mattress Makers. I've got the Athens upstairs. I got the London downstairs. They have so many great mattresses to choose from. And this is how you can get through the holidays. You want to get some sleep? Well, how about this? Guaranteed custom-fitted, handcrafted mattresses only from Texas Mattress Makers. And you're going to save 50% off of what you would pay in a retail store. So if you're going to go to a retail store, just plan on paying 50% more. Well, why would you do that? Go to Texas Mattress Makers. You get that 50%. And how about this? You can celebrate the holidays and get 20% off factory direct prices on select mattresses for your best after-party rest. So you want to sleep after you've been out partying all night? You're good. Besides that 20% off, there are great showroom specials on pocketed coil mattresses, and they're going to help you find the best one to help you sleep better. Give the gift of sleep today while you sleep your best during the season. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed, and they're great people. Go say hello to Yuval and the gang, and they will take care of you. Make sure you let them know you are a Blitzer. Visit them today, TexasMattressMakers.com, or at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Make sure you tell them I sent you.
Answer that.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And that music means it's time for a little fantasy talk. Christopher Harris runs HarrisFootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter, @HarrisFootball. What's going on, Christopher?
I'm doing well. You know how it goes. Just like hunched over the game film. I wish I were lying.
How much pressure is on you this week compared to like week two? I mean, because now people are really counting on you now. Now it's like now I've got some. I'm invested in this thing. Now I've got a chance to win some dough. Do you feel more pressure this week than normal?
I actually have a pledge that everybody who loses a playoff game this week, I have to come to their house and like console them. It's a big air bill, but I feel like it's the least I can do. I actually honestly on the podcast today and on Friday as well tried to give the speech, which, you know, I know for sure that AJ, you know this, like the playoffs are random. You know, you have to be a little bit zen about any one given week. I feel like good fantasy owners over the course of the season can smooth out the rough patches, and you might have a couple of bad situations where you trusted a guy you shouldn't have trusted, but you can figure something out, make a trade, make a waiver ad, do something. In a one-week sample size, it's just so tough, right? I mean, you know, random dudes can kind of go off and ruin it or get hurt and ruin it, and I liken it to poker. I heard the Poker Room ad just before I came on. Like, you need cards. You can get your way partway through a tournament, right? But at some point, you need cards, and I feel like that's kind of the way it is with the fantasy playoffs.
Would you gamble with a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo going up against a team that has struggled defensively and given up some big plays as the Texans have, or is this not a time to get cute?
I think it depends on who else you're comparing him to. I mean, if I'm comparing him to Russell Wilson and I'm saying, oh, well, I could talk myself into Garoppolo's matchup against the Texans and Wilson's got to go down to Jacksonville, that's an awfully good deal. Like, that for me is too cute. The guy who's got 82% of his offense, Russell Wilson, I think we're good just kind of living and dying with him. But in a situation where I'm, you know, I've been like living on borrowed time with Josh McCown, like I do have McCown rated ahead of Garoppolo, but not by a lot. Like, I see the logic. I thought Garoppolo looked awfully good against the Bears, not so much in the red zone, but really accurate and not just on time. He was able to extend plays and still throw accurately. I kind of think we might be in for a little bit of a shootout in that game. Not that it matters all that much for, I guess it matters for draft picks, but I kind of think both offenses are pretty good here.
What do you do if is Deion Lewis kind of your guy for the Patriots right now? Do you feel comfortable with him as a start, especially against the Dolphins?
I'm gonna say no, only because I don't want to jinx it. The answer is yes. In that, you know, so like the first drive against Buffalo, it was James White, and then Rex Burkhead, and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And then second quarter, they came back to Deion Lewis, and he had a few nice runs. And then yet Rex Burkhead steals the touchdowns. It feels pretty clear that Burkhead is the option when they're on the one, the old LeGarrette Blount role, you know. So I'm with you, though. I'm still going to go Deion Lewis before I'd go anyone else in that team. But Burkhead's usable. If it's a New England offense that might score 30 and you've got the chance for the goal line back, I think he's not a must start, but he's usable. And then it feels like James White. I think we're just waiting for the playoffs on James White.
Yeah, I'm curious, and it's obviously because it's Thursday now, it's a little bit too late to ask this question, but for future reference, if you are a team with a bye week, are you saving your spot in the waiver order for next week, or are you, you know, taking away from guys who, you know, take the best guy available this week so your opponents don't have that built up going up against you? Or do you save it for next week when you actually need somebody?
I don't think I have a catch-all rule. I think it's a really good question. Maybe it comes down to, do you have a significant amount of fab left? I would hope you wouldn't if it's a bidding type free agent, that at this point I hope most teams have kind of used it all. If it's like a waiver priority, I'm sitting in the number one spot, I'm likelier to save it for next week when I actually might need to replace one of my guys who got hurt uselessly for me, as opposed to using it to block and then realize, oh, next week I am, you know, hosed. I have no shot at getting James Conner because Le'Veon Bell got hurt. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. So I think probably in most cases, if it's like a standard waiver order and I'm sitting at the top, I don't want to get too cute, but you know, if I've got some fab money and I can make a few blocks, like, I don't hate the idea.
A couple from listeners with Gronk out. Can you trust Cameron Brate this week? Is his TE1, and do you expect Peyton Barber to have a similar week to last week?
So, you know, the narrative that goes with Brate is when Jameis Winston's back, there's touchdowns available. I mean, I'm scared when he gets two catches and they're both touchdowns last week. It's I think, though, given the state of the position, sure, Brait's as good a solution as anybody. At least there isn't a story to tell where I'm fine using him. I think the Peyton Barber thing might be over because Doug Martin's okay. And, you know, now we're playing personnel guru with Tampa, right? It's our job to figure out what they're going to do with those two guys. Maybe they decide, well, Martin's not back next year because he's super expensive but easy to cut. So maybe they want to look at Barber. But then again, I think they know what Barber is. He's, you know, sort of a slow, another guy, like a 225-pound slow guy. You know, so he's okay, but I don't think there's a big mystery. I think I would rather stay away. I'm going to choose Barber ahead of Martin, but once I found out Martin was in, I lowered Barber from about 25 among running backs to about 36.
You know, another guy who's out or looks to be out this week is Joe Mixon, and Gio Bernard filled in pretty nicely for him last week. And I mean, that's really probably the best I've seen the Bengals run the ball, period, all season. And I know they've sort of been forcing Joe Mixon, but do you think that you see a good performance from Gio Bernard this week, or is that somebody you're not really interested in?
No, much more interested in Bernard than I would be, say, in Barber, for sure. I mean, part of it's the workload, and I'm with you. I mean, actually, like having put myself through a lot of Bengals film this year, the Cleveland game where, you know, we're told Cleveland's got a good run defense. I mean, that was Joe Mixon's only great game of the year so far, and he had tons of room to roam. And I'm with you. Like, I watched that game Monday night, and this Bengal offensive line that's been maligned, and a lot of new faces, a lot of names we don't know, which wasn't very good for 2 months, kind of started. I mean, you're not really supposed to be able to employ that gap blocking, that power stuff against the Steelers. That's a big defensive front that usually laughs at it, right, and just sort of tackles you. And they kind of blew him off the ball. Like, pretty simple stuff, not zone. Gio Bernard, you think he's an outside runner? No, he pretty much just kind of, you know, ran between the guards and had some luck. So I don't think the Bears are an easy matchup, but I am sort of impressed with what that line has done, and there's probably work there if there's no Mixon. So, yeah, I think Bernard's startable.
All right, that's Chris Harris. You can follow him on Twitter, @HarrisFootball. Check out the website, harrisfootball.com. You can catch all his podcasts and everything there. Chris, always appreciate the time, sir, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, and good luck to everybody in their first week of their playoffs. I'm sure we'll be talking next week, and we'll talk about every single person listening won their game, and so everyone's going to be real happy.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. I hope that happens. You know, AJ, if you win yours, you should get him a gift.
I should. Well, yeah. this way, I don't need any advice this week because I thank God because Gronk is out, yeah, so I get to sit and watch this week, and then next week the pressure's going to be on for Chris with me. That's how it'll be. All right, guys, got to tell you about Pajamagram. Christmas is right around the corner. This year, go with a win-win. Someone's going to make her feel hot and heat up your holiday. The super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy by Pajamagram. Let's face it, guys, it's hard to be hot when she's freezing cold. The Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution to that. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas, and that head-to-toe warmth means she's going to be cozy in no time. You can find all the Hoodie Footy styles at pajamagram.com. And if, you know, Hoodie Footy's not your thing, you want to get her something a little sexier, you can go with the Midnight Fantasy. And if you want to do both, get the Sweet and Sexy gift set. You buy both today at pajamagram.com. You'll save $40. Plus, you don't have to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, Christmas delivery guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Tell them AJ from ESPN 97.5 sent you.
ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back. It's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. Covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts, including a debut today from Barry Laminack, who weighed in on the Sports Person of the Year. He was not happy that they called him sports person. So that's on there. AJ's riding for it. I'm riding for it. You got Palillo, Granato. We're going to get Lance on there at some point. Not NFL stuff, but we'll have him on there. So if you're not on Sports Map every day, you're missing out. Check it out right now. SportsMap.com. So
it was a pretty heavy first hour, heavy sports first
hour.
Yeah,
it was.
Right?
It was. So I'm going to talk weather for a second. The City of Houston Office of Emergency Management is monitoring the potential for cold temperatures with the possibility of sleet and snow over the next 2 days.
Oh, boy.
Forecasters with the National Weather Service say that cold temperatures and wet conditions may cause sleet and snow to fall in the Houston area Thursday evening into Friday morning. While ground temperatures are expected to remain too warm to cause roadways to ice, residents should take steps to keep themselves safe. Which means don't go anywhere on these roads.
Just don't drive if you don't need to. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, so if you don't need to be out tonight, stay home. The Steven wrote something for HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. It says some snowflakes are possible tonight. Here's a breakdown of what's going on. It says probably between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. would be your best chance to actually see some snow, but it's not going to stick.
Okay.
So there's no reason to panic. I'm going to go with no snow. That's going to be my prediction. And I know that every time we've had a major storm, we've actually had snow the next winter. That's not happening this time.
You don't see it.
No, this is the closest we're going to get, and it's not going to snow.
Okay.
Although it is.
That's a Fred Fowler guarantee.
It is only December, which concerns me a little bit with this prediction, but I feel pretty good about it. 713-780-ESPN. A lot of guys on the text line were asking, should I start this guy or that guy? And Chris's rankings are on harrisfootball.com. And
yes.
That's the easiest way to make your determination between this guy and the next. We actually have a pretty good Thursday night game for a change.
I'm excited for the game tonight.
Yeah? You got any action on it?
I don't think so. I think I'm just going to watch and learn, and we're going to find out if the Falcons are a playoff team tonight. I think that's why it's most interesting to me. If the Falcons don't win this game, the Falcons don't make the playoffs, in my opinion. Saints, there's a little more wiggle room, but the Falcons need this game. And if they can't win a game that they absolutely need, then...
Well, and I think the Saints are not out of the running for a bye.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're a game back. So this is a big game for them, for both teams. So I'm looking forward to it. And I kind of like the Saints tonight. I don't think I'm going to play it, but I've been impressed with this team. And the Falcons, to me, just too inconsistent.
For sure.
And when they show up, good Falcons, pretty darn good.
Well, I'm interested because really all the best teams in the NFC are playing each other this week. New Orleans at Atlanta. Minnesota's at Carolina. The Eagles are at the Rams. I mean, it's
this is a good weekend.
The teams that are playing for something in the NFC, or at least playing for seeding in the NFC, all have a pretty tough matchup, including Seattle, who's at Jacksonville. It's not an inter-NFC game.
But I tell you what, I like Seattle in that game a lot.
On the road?
On the road, getting points.
Okay. So
Love it, don't like it.
it's an interesting week for that reason alone to me, that all the teams that are in the race in the NFC all have tough matchups. Detroit, I guess, is still sort of hanging around as a contender. They're at Tampa, so maybe that sort of beats my game and says, oh, well, not everybody, but Detroit's like fringe good. The 6-7 best teams in the NFC all have a good matchup.
Jesse said punch the over 51 tonight, and I'm feeling good. Yeah, I'd
like everyone that. Always feels good on overs in NFC South games, but
that's
always a tough call. I mean, it's not as automatic as it used to be.
Steven says he's writing an update now on the weather.
On the weather?
Yeah, so once it's up, let me know so I can go and see what you changed.
My belief is it will snow high in the atmosphere, and none of that snow is going to make it down to the ground.
Well, that's the same prediction. We're not going to get snow for people to see.
Right. There might be some up there.
Oh, yeah. It's probably flying around up there now.
It's just not going to touch us.
Yeah. It's in fact, if you're in an airplane, you're probably seeing a little bit.
That's right.
But James says 40% chance of snow at 4 a.m. and 100% chance people lose their heads in major wrecks if it does. Oh, yeah. Well, they do that.
We got to go to Beaumont, too.
Oh, well.
Boy.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Let me just kind of throw something out. If you're thinking about traveling tomorrow on I-10, don't.
Yeah, stay away.
Yeah. That's obviously...
I-10, from what I hear, I-10 East is going to be shut down tomorrow.
Right.
So there's an alternate route.
Only going to allow certain types of cars and trucks through.
Yep.
And so you don't want to go. You don't want to go that direction. And then after 7 o'clock, you don't want to come back to Houston.
Right.
Now...
7 o'clock, they're shutting down I-10 West.
Right, right. Just so you guys know, I'm trying to spare you any trouble. Yep. And, just saying. But
fake news.
Exactly. Exactly. But hey, if you're in Beaumont, make sure you come out to Luke's tomorrow.
Please.
The last chance you'll ever get to see us.
Ever.
Yeah.
Fred's probably dying before we get back
there. Oh, God, yes. God, yes.
Guys, shopping for electricity rates, it's not fun. But Triangle knows that, and they're trying to make it easier for you. They're a born and raised in Texas company. They provide simple fixed rates, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. They've got an easy, fast sign-up process with no gimmicks and no surprises on your bill. In fact, you're going to receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. And Triangle, not only are they trying to give you good rates, they're trying to make your home more energy efficient overall, so to save you money in the long run. Sign up for the basic Eagle 12. That'll lock you in for 12 months at 8.7 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. What are you waiting for, guys? I've been telling you about them for a while. It's time to jump on it. It's an easy decision that you can feel good about. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. PUCT number 10064.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.